In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We've been going through the nine fruits of the Spirit over the past couple of months, and we come now to the last one. And just to review, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's right. So we come to the Sunday on which we discuss self-control. Self-control for a Christian is not stoicism. It's not showing our feelings. It's not simply stuffing things inside of us. It's not just not showing that we're upset with people. It's much deeper than that, in fact. It has everything to do with where we go in our thoughts when something happens, when somebody says something to us that offends us, that gets us riled up. You know, where do we go in our thoughts at that point? How do we react? Do we react with pride? Do we get angry? Do we justify ourselves when somebody says, you did this, you did that? Self-control comes from trusting God, and learning to turn to Him at all times, in every circumstance. It's closely tied to the other fruits of the Spirit, especially love, faithfulness, gentleness. Having faith, having love for God, having love for others, desiring to be kind, to be gentle, to help others gently, humbly, along the path of salvation. This is what motivates us to strive for self-control. Today we commemorate the conception by Saint Anna of the Theotokos, the Mother of God. Saints Joachim and Anna give us a beautiful example of self-control. You know, they were barren. They had no children until their 50th wedding anniversary. So you can imagine how old they were. No children, but they had prayed faithfully to God, and they never gave up. God, please grant us this blessing of a child. Please, Lord, grant us this gift. You know, for the Jews, you were looked down upon if you didn't have children. Parents with no children who are barren must be cursed by God. They must be unrighteous because they judged from the outside. They saw that and they said, God's abandoned you. It was absolutely not true because they couldn't see into their hearts. In fact, they were the most faithful people around. But with sorrow, with a longing for God to bless them, they prayed faithfully day in, day out, and God rewarded them for their faithfulness. And He brought about a miracle. But note, Joachim and Anna, when they were cursed by the Jewish community around them, when they were insulted and called names, they didn't lash out. They didn't respond in kind. They didn't try to defend themselves and say, no, we're righteous. Nothing like that. They simply humbly accepted that insult, and they prayed for the people, and they prayed to God. They gave their hearts to Christ, to God. They didn't react. They didn't curse God or lose faith. They kept looking to God and asking for mercy. And at last the miracle occurred. And of course, it was by revelation from Archangel Gabriel to Joachim and to Anna that they would bear this child, and that she wouldn't be just any child, but she would be special, because from her would be born the Savior. You see, so they had a glimpse of that even then. And so she was born. And even then, we see them exercise such incredible self-control. After waiting all of those years for a child, at her third birthday, they took her to the temple and gave her into the safekeeping of the temple where she might be trained to become a living temple of her son, Jesus Christ. These are characteristics of people with self-control. To look to God in all circumstances, to pray, to seek strength from God, to seek an answer from God. When insulted, they don't insult back. When verbally attacked, they pray for their attackers. When they face extreme pressure, they don't freak out. You know how many of us freak out when we're under pressure? I do. You know, all kinds of stressors in our life and people with all kinds of problems. And what do you do? What do you say? How do you respond? You know, it can be very difficult not to freak out under those circumstances. But self-control means that we, in those circumstances, turn our hearts to Christ. It's like St. Porphyrios said, when you see the devil coming, don't try to face him head on. Turn around and face Christ instead. Give your focus to him, because the devil will do everything in his power to steal your attention away from Christ, to cause you to focus on whatever shenanigans he's trying to pull, rather than giving our whole hearts to Christ. That's what he's trying to do, but we can't give in to that. St. Isaac the Syrian says, we can either trust God's providence and have peace in our life, or we can not trust it and try to figure it out ourselves and fix everything ourselves and fix everyone around us ourselves. And he says, we'll be the most miserable people then. But it's up to us. It's up to you. Do you want to have peace or do you want to be miserable? Today's gospel describes the healing of the woman whose back was bent. She was bent for 18 years, it says. And she had some kind of awful condition where she couldn't stand up straight. And no physician or any human helper could have done anything for her. Nobody helped her. But along comes Christ, and he has mercy on her, and he heals her. But note, it's the Sabbath day. He heals her on the Sabbath day. And immediately, and we see this again and again, it's a very common theme in the gospel. Immediately, the ruler of the Sabbath, the ruler of the synagogue, is up in arms. Because the Lord healed on the Sabbath. He's breaking the rule. He's breaking the law. He's healing on the Sabbath. So he criticized the Lord and accused him. Jesus is often accused of being a lawbreaker, which is very ironic since he's the lawgiver. The law came from the Word of God. The problem is that laws are given by God for the healing of souls, for the healing of people. But we so often treat the laws legalistically. We make them idols, and that's what happened here. But what does Christ say to the people that are accusing him of breaking the law, of breaking the Sabbath law? How does he respond? And by the way, what he says in response, he says, according to the Holy Fathers, and we know this from our faith, with total self-control. He never loses his peace, not even when he's overturning the tables of the money changers. He does it with total self-control, total awareness of God's presence, total sense of reliance on his Father. You see? Total sense of that he is God, that he's the Word of God, that he's there in order to heal and to transform and to give life. He does everything in communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit and with love for each human being. So he says this with total self-control, but he says it very clearly. He doesn't mince words. You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey and lead it away to water it? In other words, don't you make exceptions to the letter of the law for practical reasons? And if you do that, ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, to be loosed from her bond on the Sabbath? You see, you can't have true self-control, which means relying on the strength of God, the grace of God, if you have hypocrisy. Because if you have hypocrisy and pride, then you're relying on yourself. You're trying to manufacture your own grace and your own righteousness. It's one or the other. These rulers of the Jews were hypocritical and self-serving, and so they looked at everything with a slant. And everything appeared crooked to them, you know? And everybody else appeared crooked to them. They were deluded. They believed that they were righteous and pious, and that everyone else was unrighteous, even Jesus himself. They put on an air of self-control, but it was fake. Real self-control begins with humility and is inspired by love. Trust in God. It goes hand in hand with trust in God. Lack of trust in ourselves. We either trust God or we trust ourselves and our own righteousness. This is what St. Isaac the Syrian says. And if we trust ourselves and our own righteousness, we will be miserable. I want to end with reading a passage from St. Isaac the Syrian, which so eloquently expresses the true way of self-control that leads to joy, that leads to the fullness of life in Christ. See if it doesn't make your heart leap when you hear it. When you meet your fellow man, constrain yourself to pay him more honor than is his due. Kiss his hands and his feet. Often take his hands with deep respect and praise him for what he does not even possess. And when he parts from you, say every good thing about him and whatever it may be that commands respect for him. For by these and similar acts, you draw him to good and make him feel ashamed because of the gracious names by which you have called him, and you sow the seeds of virtue in him. From behavior such as this, to which you accustom yourself, a good pattern is also imprinted in you, and you gain much humility for yourself and achieve great things without toil. And not only this, but if he has any faults or voluntary imperfections, he will readily accept correction from you when he is honored by you, being ashamed because of the respect which you have shown him and the proof of love he continually sees in you. Let this always be the aim of your conduct, to be courteous and respectful to all. And do not provoke any man or vie zealously with him, either for the sake of the faith or on account of his evil deeds, but watch over yourself, not to blame or accuse any man in any matter. For we have a judge in the heavens who is impartial. But if you would have that man return to the truth, be grieved over him, and with tears and love say a word or two to him, but do not be inflamed with anger against him, lest he see within you the signs of hostility. For love does not know how to be angry, or provoked, or passionately to reproach anyone. The proof of love and knowledge is profound humility, which is born of a good conscience in Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be glory and dominion with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.